everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Commonwealth Sailor podcast. My name is Charlie Deaver, and today I have the pleasure of sitting down once again with Father Foy Bellier, who is a spiritual mentor to me and an advisor to our community. Just such a blessing to so many people. And if you've been listening to the Commonwealth podcasts, you've heard Foy before. He's been on here a number of times. If you're a part of our community, you may have met him at some point as he's joined us for our annual CREO conference, as well as just other things throughout the years. So, but today we're going to talk about something that Foy is certainly well experienced with and has a lot of wisdom about, and that is spiritual mentoring, or as I'm sure Foy will call it, spiritual fathering and mothering. The cool thing about this conversation that I get to have with Foy is Foy has been a spiritual father to me in the recent past and continues to be that on a regular basis. And it's been such a blessing as he's helped me to navigate some new and interesting experiences and seasons, and just helped me to be a better pastor, better father and husband, and most importantly, a better disciple of Jesus. So it's been a cool relationship that we'll probably reflect on a little bit over the next 30 minutes or so. But just to frame this discussion before I bring Foy in, I want anyone who's listening, I just want you to think about for a moment about the most formative things in your life. If you were to name the three people or events or whatever it might be that have formed you, that have made you the person that you are today, what would those three things be? My guess, and that might not be enough time for you to think of them, but my guess is that if you were to begin to unpack that, you would certainly have at least one person on that list of things that have formed you into the person that you are. We are deeply formed by our relationships, whether it's with parents or peers, friends, mentors, pastors, teachers, coaches, whatever it might be. Throughout our life, some of the most formative things that we come into contact with is our relationships with others, for better or for worse. And Jesus understands this. This is why he calls us not only to into relationship with him, but into relationship with one another, and makes that a priority of our faith journey. So with that in mind, it's important that we are really intentional about some of our most formative relationships. And that's where the conversation of spiritual mentoring comes in. We need people in our lives, people who have gone before us, who can lend a hand and guide us forward into the unknown, which we face often in our life. And it's those people, those wise sages, that help us navigate things that we never thought we'd have to navigate. And for me personally, the mentors in my life have been the greatest blessing to me in my journey. So enough from me. Foy, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, it's great to be back with you again today, Charlie, and sharing this conversation and collaboration with the people at Commonwealth and those across the country who are going to be listening in on our intimate conversation with one another as we talk about what it looks like to be a spiritual mentor, or as I like to say, a spiritual parent.
Well, let's start with this, Foy. Why don't you define for us what spiritual mentoring is? Why don't you unpack that term for us a little bit?
Okay, so I'm going to give you the technical term or the technical definition, and I'm going to give you a short working pragmatic definition that I would prefer to use. So in terms of spiritual mentoring, a mentoring relationship is an individualized personal experience whereby a mentor pours into the life of the mentee by creating a pathway whereby that mentee engages in an intentional and transformational process so that ultimately he or she would look more like Jesus. So if I can boil all of that down out of the textbook, as it were, It's essentially seeking to spiritually parent another human being.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. I think that image, that illustration of parenting is so helpful, even, you know, for those of us who didn't have great parents. You know, most of us have an understanding of what a parent should be and the role that they serve, and that is to form us so that we can become a little version of them, which is a human being, a competent human being that contributes to the world and raises up young human beings themselves. So, but I don't think most people, when they think about their faith journey, I don't think most people see a need for that sort of relationship. Why would you say that spiritual mentoring is important? Would you say it's important for all followers of Jesus and not just the pastors or the professional Christians?
Yeah, I would say it's critically important. Many of us, perhaps even most of us who are listening on this call, came up in evangelical churches where we were introduced to Jesus at a prayer meeting or a Sunday school or a camp meeting and asked to give our lives to him. And then we were invited into worship services, youth groups, Bible studies. But there wasn't the personal investment outside of information transfer. I was blessed to have some key mentors in my life as a young man who took content seriously, but were more relationally oriented. So I want to take this back to the beginning of this conversation. You said, stop and think about three things that made a major impact or shaped you. That's my paraphrase. I automatically thought of individuals, and then I stopped myself and I'm like, oh, maybe I should think about, you know, major life experiences like marriage or graduating from the Marine Corps or university. But it really is the relationships. It's those relationships that form us and shape us out of the gate. So in a growing up in a home where my mother was the Jesus follower and I didn't have a dad to shape me in that way, same gender investment as to what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus and a man of God, I had, by God's grace, men who stepped in and did that for me. So I thought automatically of my youth pastor, Kirk Carlson, who's gone on to be with the Lord now. I thought automatically of my basketball coach, Steve Moon, who's still with us. I thought about these individuals who shaped me and parented me and fathered me as a young man and showed me what it looked like to be a follower of Jesus, a committed husband, a committed father, one who would contribute to developing the next generation, as you said earlier, Pastor Charlie. So those were my shaping influences. And I know we're going to get into this a little bit later, but I think it's key to have those relationships, not just in your formative years as a child and as a teenager, and even as a young husband and father, but even as a practitioner, you've got to have mentors and spiritual parents who are going to help you in every stage of the journey. I still have spiritual fathers in my life today, even as I am a spiritual father to others myself. I would say, to answer your question, it is critically important to have a spiritual parent speaking into your life and helping to shape you in the way of Master Jesus so that you will be transformed, as the scripture says, from glory to glory, from day to day, so that you will look more, you will become into greater conformity with the image and likeness of Jesus Christ himself.
That's really good, Foy. I appreciate that. And yeah, it's just so, so meaningful. If our goal is to become more and more like Jesus, then we want to surround ourselves with people who look like Jesus and are willing to bring us along and walk with us. And yeah, so I think about, you know, the four guys who invest in my life on a regular basis, you being very much one of those four. you know, there are so many things in each of their lives that I deeply admire and want to, I desire for my own life. You know, whether it's as a husband, as a pastor, as you know, just a human being, and their you know, compassion for others. So that's great. I know we'll talk more about what do we look for in a mentor in a moment, but why don't we, so for those of us who grew up in the church, and probably this is probably not the first time we've heard the term mentorship, spiritual mentorship, or sometimes we use the word discipleship, maybe you would distinguish between those two things. But what are some of the misconceptions around mentorship? Unpack for us what a spiritual mentor is and what a spiritual mentor is not.
Awesome. Yeah. If I could just tag on to what we just said before I touch on that, I think spiritual mentoring is critically important because the Holy Spirit uses it to deepen and deploy the people of God for the mission of God so that the church of God continues to make a difference in the dark world around us. So that happens when we help people identify and step into more of their identity, capacity, and destiny. So I might be belaboring that fact, but I felt like I needed to say that in a really pithy and pointed way. Now, to move into your actual question, misconceptions about mentoring. I think, Charlie, that mentoring and discipleship are identical. I really do. I think there's a lot of hierarchical differentiation that we make sometimes where we say this is discipleship, this is mentoring. I think as we look at the way of Jesus in the New Testament, which builds on some of the mentoring relationships in the Old Testament, which I'm sure we'll talk on about shortly, and some of what Paul develops and other apostles in the New Testament, all of discipleship circles around not content transfer, though that's part of it, but it's in the developing and the shaping of the interior life and how that's expressed in our daily actions, attributes, and activities. So having said that, here are some things that people think about spiritual mentoring that are probably almost certainly wrong. First, it's not coaching. We live in a culture right now that wants to purchase coaching about virtually everything. Coaching is about tactics. It's outcome focused. And for those of us who are in Christian ministry, it's typically about vocational development. How do I become a better pastor? How do I become a better worship leader? We get coaching towards that end. That's not about our character. That's about competencies in those individual areas. Also, I think that it's important to say that spiritual mentoring is not about shaping a mentee. And I'm using the mentor-mentee language here because I think it's most helpful. It's not about making the mentee look like the mentor, not to make a disciple of the mentor or to embrace the theology of the mentor. It's to help that mentee become who they're supposed to be as they are conformed into the image and likeness of Master Jesus. So to transfer that into the parenting role that we were talking about earlier, my role in shaping my son Matthew, as I shaped his sisters and continue to do so, is not so that Matthew would look like me. Matthew and I are very different. Thank God. I'm a disaster mess. My son is my hope for the future in our country. I want Matthew to look fully Matthew-like. I don't want him to be me. I want him to learn things from me, but ultimately to become the person that he's supposed to be as he is conformed to the image and likeness of Jesus, which we have in common. And then lastly, and I've touched on this before, this is the other third misconception, I would say. Spiritual mentoring is not about information transfer. And I've had mentoring relationships in my life where older men who were instructed that it is about information transfer approached our mentoring relationship in that way. Didn't know much about their family, didn't know much about their interior life. They didn't share their struggle. They just had doctrine and theology and process that they wanted me to understand and replicate as they were instructed in. That is not spiritual mentoring. That is not spiritual parenting. That is coaching someone towards a doctrinal point of view or an educational outcome or a vocational excellence that you aspire them to attain.
That's really helpful. It makes me reflect on just some of the relationships I've had over the years that I may have referred to as mentoring, but were definitely coaching. And that's okay. You know, it's good to have some of those relationships, but there's a depth and a necessity of spiritual mentoring that doesn't get accomplished in that coaching relationship. And there's a lot of times, you know, I know my experience, you know, growing up in youth ministry, I may be mentored by a youth pastor. And at times it was so programmatic. You know, we got this once a week or once every other week, which I'm grateful for the time, but it's, you know, it's like a punch in, punch out. We go through some sort of curriculum, you know, pre-written curriculum. It's very much planned out. Sometimes it doesn't even feel like I even needed to be in the room, right? You know, it's not really focused on what's going on in my life at that moment and what God might be teaching me or doing in me, because it's not life on life mentorship. You know, it's coaching centered around a particular set of information and goals. And so that's helpful. And would you say so? It seems like, I don't know if you'd agree with this, but what I think of is like some of us may need coaching, but all of us need mentorship. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say that all of us, I'll take it one step further. All of us need spiritual parenting for sure, because nobody drifts into the fully orbed spiritual life. Nobody just kind of accidentally looks more like Master Jesus. We've got to have somebody who's farther down the line, use your language from before, that's going to help us look like that. I would say everyone needs coaching in their vocation too. They need to learn from someone who's going to invest in them and help them become who they're supposed to be. Great managers do that. I would also say everybody needs a therapist too, but I think that's probably another podcast for another time, for sure.
Yeah. You do a pretty good job filling that role for me, boy.
Oh, praise God.
It saves me a ton of money. Well, let's get a little bit more specific. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your experience, both as a mentor and a mentee? Maybe we start with as a mentee. Who has led you along over the years?
Yeah, what a great question. I think without question, those men who shaped me in my formative years, and I mentioned my youth pastor, my basketball coach, both godly men. When I came back to my faith after coming face to face with the resurrected Jesus at a Promise Keeper event on the other side of some real darkness of being in the Marines as a young man, Maria's pastor served as a mentor to me as well. When I first became a pastor, I had others, denominational executives, who served as mentors, not spiritual parents, but mentors in that classical old school sense, where they showed me what it looked like to be most effective. And to be honest, and I love all of these guys, it really devolved into coaching. It wasn't mentoring. They didn't share their life with me. They didn't share their struggles with me. They just showed me how I could be more effective as a pastor. That changed for me about 10 years ago, Charlie, maybe 12 years ago now. I was traveling with a large evangelical tradition, which will remain unnamed, to protect both the guilty and the innocent. And one of their national office staff overseers took an interest in me. and he began to father me. He began to parent me. So when I first approached the relationship, this man's name is Fritz, I approached it in the classical sense of mentoring, as maybe many of our folks who are listening to this would receive it as, and just teach me to be a better pastor, more effective, help me to reach the needs of my congregants. And what he did over time, and I get choked up talking about this guy, I'm going to try to process it in a way in which will be intelligible on our podcast. He welcomed me into his home as his son. He welcomed me into his heart as his son. He welcomed me into his struggle as his son. And he called out and called forth things from within me that I didn't even see in myself. And over the last 12 years, he has become my dearest and closest friend. We talk regularly. I spend a retreat one time per year at his fishing camp in the Northwest with a couple of other brothers who he has fathered as well. And he continues to invest in us. He hosts us in his home. He feeds us his food. He takes us out on his belt, his boat. He asks us what's going on in our lives and how he can care for us. He has served as a spiritual father to me. And in that role over the last dozen years, provided me a template and an example to care for others out of my resources, out of the interior of my heart, out of the substance of my struggle. And my life is better for him being in it, for sure. And it's also better for you being in it, Charlie, as I learn from you and hear what God is doing in you. It's strengthening and encouraging me. And here maybe is a fallacy that we didn't talk about earlier. Misconceptions. Misconceptions about mentoring is that we're receiving, it's unidirectional. We're receiving from one person who's older and more established than the expert and the guru and the sage and all the words that we use for that. But in reality, mutuality is the foundation, is the groundwork. It's the bricks from which this building of love and affection and conformity with Jesus Christ are built. And I believe, based on what my spiritual father has said to me, he has learned much from me, as well as shared with me. And that's the approach I think that spiritual parents have to take as we develop the people. And I'm going to make this super pragmatic for a moment. As we develop the people in our churches and our micro churches and our nonprofits, the ground of this relationship, even as we parent others, is to recognize that they have something to offer to us. My son, Matthew, who's 17, has given me not just much joy in my life, but has taught me. The reason why I'm an Anglican priest right now is because of my son, Matthew. That's a whole nother story for a whole nother podcast. But that's what we're talking about. Parenting is not the imposition of one's will on another to make one look like the mentor or the father or the mother, but to allow that person the freedom to grow and flourish. And as an added benefit, to bless the one who is mentoring, to bless the one who is parenting, to bless the one who is shaping as that relationship unfolds.
So we should probably say that not only does every follower of Jesus need a spiritual mentor, but every follower of Jesus needs to be a spiritual mentor as well. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Jeff Sorvik, who was a friend of mine who's gone home to be with the Lord, who was a multiplication catalyst in the Free Church a number of years ago, said that all of us need to have a mentoring constellation. That term just captured me, a constellation, because being an outdoorsman and a naturalist, I automatically thought of the sky, right? A constellation. What did he mean by that? He meant there needs to be someone who you're reaching your hand towards and following along with, someone whom you're reaching your hand on either side and bringing along with you in a peer relationship, and then someone who is reaching their hand back that you're drawing behind you. So someone ahead, someone behind, people on either side. And the scripture shows us demonstrably time and time again what some of those relationships look like within the framework of historical figures.
Growing up in church, that was always referred to as having a Paul, a Barnabas, and a Timothy. We Yes. all need a Paul, a Barnabas, and a Timothy, which may be, I mean, we probably don't have time to go into all the examples, but I'm sure some people might be asking, well, where does it say in scripture that I need a spiritual mentor or to be a spiritual mentor? And again, I don't know if you would use discipleship and mentorship interchangeably, but you could argue that our call to make disciples is certainly a call to at least in part be a mentor. But what are some examples that we see in scripture of mentorship, of spiritual parenthood, of people doing these sorts of things that we're talking about?
Yeah, I love how you just grounded that in the Great Commission, Charlie. When we lead people to Christ and we introduce them to the Master, when we welcome them into the family, there is an obligation there. And maybe the scripture doesn't say this point blank. We could probably have a theological conversation around that at some point. But when you bring people aboard, when you bring people in as the Holy Spirit activates the seed of faith and they respond to Christ, you and I have a responsibility to help shape those people and form those people. And I think historically the church has looked at that, as you said just before, as discipleship. I think evangelism and discipleship are interconnected. I also think that discipleship and spiritual mentoring or spiritual parenting are also interconnected or interchangeable. So in the scripture, we see this. Nowhere, again, where it is in the Bible does it say worship and study your Bible in the morning? You know, I mean, we put these things together, right, from the principles that are embedded there. There are principles embedded in both Old Testament and New, and I don't have time to go into all of it, but I'll just mention some of them really quickly here, of mentoring relationships or spiritual parenting relationships in the scripture. Old Testament, right out of the gate, Moses and Joshua. I mean, Joshua chapter 1 has been super formative in my life as I think about how God's been developing me through some of my own mentors. You want to talk about powerful? Let's talk about Elijah and Elisha and how Elisha was developed under Elijah's ministry. And even though Elijah's called the greatest of the Old Testament prophets, a case could be made for Elisha getting the double portion of Elijah's spirit, having a more even impactful relationship in Israel after Elijah's departure. I mean, come on, in the church, Jesus is always the right answer, right? So Jesus and the 12, Jesus developed these guys day in and day out, where life was the curriculum. It wasn't some 12-week study that we get from Lifeway or some other well-meaning Christian book distributor. It was the stuff of life. Life is the curriculum. One of my mentors, Dr. Tom Johnson from Praxis, speaks about that regularly. So Jesus used the stuff of life to be a mentor to his mentees, but in some ways to parent them as well. As we look at the apostolic age, again, time's running out, but here we go. You ready? We see Paul and Timothy. We see Paul and Titus, the pastoral epistles. We see Peter and John Mark by inference, not just in the scripture, but in church history. I would say we even have in the book of Acts, Paul developing Lydia. We also have Priscilla developing Apollos in her home with Aquila, her husband. So this is for both men and women. And I felt like Jesus wanted me to say that today.
That's great. So Foy, for people listening and maybe they've never had a spiritual mentor or been a spiritual mentor. It's been a very long time and no one's walking up to them from their church community or otherwise saying, hey, I want to mentor you, or I want to be your spiritual parent. Where would you suggest that we begin with this?
What a great question. So let me just rudely disabuse everyone. Nobody's going to come looking to mentor you, gang. The mentee has to take the initiative. You've got to go looking for someone who you recognize as being spiritually mature. You know, if you're a young woman, you're looking for a spiritual mother who's at work in the kingdom somewhere around you, in your church, in your nonprofit, wherever. If you're a young man, you're looking for a spiritual father who's serving in a similar capacity. You've got to take the initiative and find those people and ask them if they would mentor you or father or mother you. That's the language I would use. But I'm in a liturgical tradition right now, being an Anglican, where that is normative. We look for an abbot. We look for a spiritual father. We look for a confessor. We look for an annum cara, somebody who's going to personally invest in us and develop that relationship. So having said that, I don't want to discourage anyone, but most of the pastors I know have never had a spiritual mentor or a spiritual father in their life. And it's really sad. Having said that, if you pray, I believe that God will lead you to a place and a space where you can find that individual. And maybe it's you talk to your pastor, or your spiritual leader, your micro church leader, and say, would you help me in this? And it might be that the two of you look for some resourcing together. So I think the follow-on question that you're probably going to ask, Charlie, is where do we find this stuff? Where do we find the resourcing to do this outside of the relational capacity? And the answer to that, sadly, is there's not a lot out there. I know for me, the Praxis Center in New Hampshire has a number of resources that really helped me. And I ended up having a relationship with Dr. Tom Johnston, who oversees the Praxis Center, who's become a spiritual mentor. I would actually say a spiritual father to me as a result of me coming in contact with some of the resources that he had written and provided to the church at large. So again, hear me clearly. A lot of our pastors have not been mentored well or at all. There's not a lot of resources out there on the market. Having said that, there are resources on the market if you take the time to look for them. And there are people that God has put within your sphere of influence that you can look to teach you, to be a mentor to you, to be a parent to you, if only for a season. And here's an important piece too, I think, Charlie, is that mentors are for seasons. A parent is somebody that you walk through throughout the seasons of your life.
It's a great distinction. Yeah, I think I would add to that. Over the years, and even at the moment, I have and have had mentors who had never mentored before the relationship with me, and I approach them. I've also, all the mentors I've ever had, I've all also initiated that as the mentee. There's been a few people that have initiated mentoring me, and it oddly enough has never really worked out in that way. I think it requires a certain sense of humility, or certainly requires humility to be a good mentor. And for those mentors who I've asked to mentor me who may have never mentored before, they turned out to be great mentors, because mentorship is about life experience and walking with Jesus. And really what I was asking is, will you do life with me and process life with me? It's not about having a bunch of knowledge. You know, it's not about knowing how to mentor, but it's simply about sharing life in a humble but faithful way and being available. So I've found some really wonderful mentors and people who had said to me, I've never done that before, but I'm willing.
Amen.
Well, Foy, I really and I appreciate, if I could just say, I know I've said it a number of times, I'm incredibly grateful for the time and the wisdom that you've invested in my life over not over that long of a period of time. I mean, this is relatively new for you and me, but I've loved it, and I really appreciate you and the relationship that we have. So thanks for being willing, not only to do this podcast, but also to speak with me regularly and do life with me even from afar.
Yeah, it's been a privilege and a joy, brother. You inspire and encourage me. I think I've got one more nugget in our last moment that I wanted to share with our listeners, and
Yeah, final
that's
words. Go
this.
ahead.
So one of the questions you and I had talked about is, how does mentoring strengthen the life of the church? And I think this is a great place to land the plane. I think the entire life of the church and its effectiveness rises and falls on spiritual mentoring or spiritual parenting. The disaster mess that the evangelical church is today is directly attributable to the fact that we have not done that. So, mentoring strengthens the life of the church primarily by creating family relationships which others are related into and multiplied out from. Boom, there it is.
Awesome. Thanks, Foy. Appreciate it. Thanks for listening to the Commonwealth Selah podcast. If you want to learn more about our community, you can visit commonwealthknox.org.